In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. As we conclude the second week of Great Lent, the Church presents to you and me three meditations. The first is the meditation in today's Gospel account in St. Mark about a paralytic and his miraculous cure. On account of this man's faith and the forgiveness, he was healed. Today's second meditation is the commemoration of a holy man, a godly messenger, someone whom the Church calls a theologian, St. Gregory of Palamas. This man was filled with divine wisdom, and he was filled with the power of God. In the 1400s, he was a great defender of the Orthodox faith, the Orthodox Catholic faith, for all those who seek to disfigure certain truths. We'll look at that in just a minute. And the third commemoration today are the holy relics, but they're closely related to what St. Gregory of Palamas was teaching. What's similar in all three commemorations? All were sinful men. All were unworthy vessels of Almighty God and the glorification that He wants to give to each and every one of us. Nonetheless, all these men and women, all those in these relics, were people of faith. And these people, because of their profound faith, experienced in their lives a profound effect, first of divine forgiveness, and through that divine forgiveness, they experienced a true healing. The saints, as we say, are experiencing the very glory of God, not in essence, but as much as they're able to participate it as not being divine themselves. But they're invited to begin to participate in this divine glory. And whatever the light of God touches begins to illuminate that person. And you begin to perceive into some of the mystery of God. An important lesson then, as we are continuing this journey into the season of Great Lent, is this. God will accomplish His work in us. God will accomplish His work in us. Should you have faith, should you seek forgiveness, and should you seek His healing, God will accomplish His work in us. Should you make that act of faith, should you seek the forgiveness of Almighty God and be open and let Him heal your heart? There's only one sin that God cannot forgive. He says, the Lord says, the sin against the Holy Spirit. What is that sin? It's the person who refuses to receive God's forgiveness. The person who refuses then to receive God's healing. It's our choice. It's ours that we put up the wall against God. The great tempter, the great liar, the great deceiver, Lucifer, Satan, the devil, call him what name you will, is always prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour, says St. Peter in his letter. Always waiting to cause you or me to stumble, to trip. That's why he's called Satan, Satanas, the one who seeks to cause another to stumble. And he won't stop. He won't stop. And so the temptation is to give up the struggle, to not pursue God's mercy, to be overwhelmed with one's own sins, or to stop the ascetical practices, saying, I don't think they're really working. or to set aside the cross of Christ, to stop asking for mercy because we get tired of asking. It's to give in to what the prayer of St. Ephrem says or calls sloth, or in the Greek, acedia. You just become lethargic in the inner depth of your heart. You just say, it's not worth it anymore. I'm not going to continue. I'm just tired of all this. Nevertheless, in the same prayer, the prayer of St. Ephrem, we also then pray for, and this is why we pray for, patience. Now, patio in Latin means long suffering. The baptized person needs the virtue from God of long suffering. So we don't give up. We don't fall into the sin of acedia. Now we look at these men today in today's gospel. A paralytic man and his friends. What do we see? Men who did not give up. They didn't stop the struggle. Despite a crowd around our Lord, they then got up on the roof. They tore a hole in the roof. And they figured out a way to lay down, to bring their friend down through the roof before the crowd, before our Lord. Our Lord saw this. The God-man saw this. He saw what? An unwavering faith. He saw their selfless love. He saw their indomitable determination. What an example for you and me as we continue to tread, to journey this season, through this season of Great Lent. And what does the God-man, the Word of God, say? Because he sees the faith, he sees the selfless love, he sees the determination. He says, son, son, your sins are forgiven you. And then the very Word of God that created the universe and renews the universe, the very Word spoke, I say to you, arise, take up your pallet, and go home. And the theologians of the day, the scribes and the Pharisees, as typical, refused to make the act of faith. They refused to acknowledge the full and complete miraculous healing that occurred before their very eyes. And we wonder why today people may doubt. It's nothing new. Before their very eyes, something miraculous happened, and they still refuse to believe. Refuse to believe what? Not only that a man's sins were forgiven, but that a man was given the ability to walk. And not just any man. This was a paralytic, a man who had been paralytic for so many years of his life. Can you imagine how the tissues and the muscles had all atrophied by that time? And yet by the very command of God Almighty, the Word said, rise, and that man was able to rise immediately. What's the reason for these miraculous healings? While physically weak, the faith of that paralytic and the faith of his friends was determination. Their faith, one and all together, contributed to this man's miraculous healing. A miraculous healing of soul and body. Let us then take a note on this as we come to the second week, to the end of the second week of Great Lent. Salvation brings healing to both body and soul. All the more, for a complete physical healing to occur, it must always be preceded by a full spiritual healing, a full healing of the soul. The human person is mind, body, and soul. Or we could say mind, or we say body, soul, and spirit. We are integrated human beings, and if our body is sick, the soul will suffer. If our soul is sick, the body suffers. If the body is sick and the soul is sick, then the spiritual life is going to be sick. If the spiritual life is wounded, the body and the soul are also suffering. We are integrated beings. So as we then traverse the road toward divinization, let us keep in mind, sin affects the soul. However, a wounded soul affects the body. And Jesus the Christ, God, heals first the soul of the human being before he seeks to heal the physical body. That is what's going to happen on the day of judgment. The soul of every person is going to be purified, or is being purified right now. And then what's going to happen? A glorified soul is going to be rejoined to a new and glorified body. A holy, united, integrated human being. The church therefore gives to you and me a word of caution during this holy season of Great Lent, during the Great Fast. Neither fasting, greater prayer, and other righteous acts or almsgiving will bring about the genuine inner healing without the forgiveness of sins. Sin is a disease, and it attacks the soul. It's a cancer, and it must be eradicated out of our lives. Nevertheless, forgiveness of sin must be preceded by a genuine act of metanoia. We have to lie before the Lord Almighty like the paralytic, face to face, eye to eye. Reorient the way we're looking in our lives. Reorient the way we look and see and feel and experience and think. Reorient our hearts. Reorient our entire being through an act of faith. Eye to eye on the Lord and say, You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. Our holy fathers and mothers teach us that fasting and almsgiving and greater prayer are futile if we're not going to confession, if we're not rejecting the old order of sin, if we're not rejecting the old Adam. And then one final lesson from today's gospel passage. No man, no woman, no human being is an island. You and I come before the Lord never alone. We are joined to the body of Christ. We are joined to every single baptized person. Spiritually wounded, the body of Christ, together. We carry each other's burdens, and we carry each other's sorrows, and we carry each other's tragedies. And together we lay each other before a God of healing. During this season, you and I then are challenged to become more acutely aware of our neighbor in need, and to help each other carry a little bit of one another's burden. Christ is among us.